Illegal drugs, stolen data, and other illicit items are all sold online, creating new challenges for law enforcement. The Criminal Investigation Unit of the IRS last fall helped take down a sophisticated Phoenix drug ring that sold heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine on the dark web. Buyers and sellers communicated using encrypted messages, and payments were made in cryptocurrency, leaving no formal trail for authorities to follow. But federal prosecutors secured prison sentences for those involved in the dark web drug smuggling scheme. And joining me to talk about the kinds of challenges cases like this pose to the agency are Ismael Navarez, special agent in charge for the IRS Criminal Investigation Division for Arizona, and IRS special agent Brian Watson, who's based in Tucson. And Ismael, let me start with you. For how long have internet crimes and those committed on the dark web been a focus of the IRS?
IRS CI has been investigating crypto investigations for about 3 years now. For the past 3 years, we've been focusing on cybercrime. Any individual that's committing any type of financial fraud scheme on the internet, and also on the dark web, and with the use of cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin, to facilitate their illegal activity. It's no longer an emerging threat. It's now in existence, and it's a very prevalent crime. And IRS CI spends a significant amount of its investigative resources in identifying these types of fraudulent crimes that are going on the internet.
What kinds of things are people doing fraudulently online, and specifically maybe on the dark web?
Well, the biggest thing is narcotics. The biggest reason they use the dark web is anonymity. And then factor that in, combining it with the use of virtual currency, you can hide what you're doing much easier than you could before the dark web became so prevalent and the use of virtual currencies became so prevalent. But we're seeing the same thing. Someone selling cocaine, meth, heroin, they can do it online.
How easy or difficult is that to track? I'm not asking you to give away sort of state secrets here, but how easy or difficult is that to try to track down?
I would tell you that about 3 years ago, it was very difficult for federal law enforcement and local law enforcement agencies to identify individuals that were doing, nefarious activities on the internet. You're right. I don't want to give away too much tradecraft, too much trade secrets, and let the bad guys know exactly how we're doing and how we identify them. But it's become a lot easier now for us. Our investigators have really increased their capacity. We've given them the tools they need to be able to identify these types of crimes that go on the internet. And now I would say that we're pretty close to, being experts at, investigating cybercrime.
Do you find that the types of crimes that you are investigating online and on the dark web, are they the same kinds of crimes that people were doing before, just sort of in real life, or has the web sort of spawned a new type of crime that you have to look into?
Well, the thing I tell people about the dark web and dark net, most of us don't go there because you have to have a special software, use a special router to even get there, and it's not for the faint of heart. Some people have coined it Craigslist for criminals, and it's a great way to explain it. You can go on there and get anything you want that's bad, child porn, social security numbers, identities. You can hire a hitman.
Passports.
You can hire the precursors to make drugs like meth. It's all out there. So it's all the stuff that's always been out there, but now it's easier for some people to get it because you can be anonymous and you can get this stuff without having to use traditional banking system.
It sounds like, and again, I don't want to have you give away trade secrets here, but the argument for example, legalizing marijuana in some circles is that if it's above board, you can track down more easily the people who are doing things they shouldn't be doing. Whereas if it's illegal, people will still do it. They'll just go further and further underground. It'll be harder to catch them. It kind of sounds like that's a little bit what you're dealing with here.
That's a great analogy. So, most individuals, that you would hear the saying, they commit their crimes under the veil of secrecy or the veil of darkness, right? So I think that's probably why they coined the dark web as they did.
That's why it's called that.
It's called that, right? It gave, users of this internet the ability to get involved in illicit activity with a sense of comfort that people won't readily detect them. And they still do. And I think they've failed to recognize that law enforcement will chase a bad guy, to the ends of the earth and, also to the dark web. If you go there, we'll find you.
Do you guys still face the same number of, I hate to call them less exciting types of crimes, but are there still the same number of plain old tax cheats out there that you have to investigate? People who aren't necessarily, you know, trying to sell drugs or child porn, things like that. People are just cheating on their taxes?
Well, absolutely.
IRS criminal investigation, we are the only federal law enforcement agency that can recommend tax charges. So anytime you hear of an individual being charged with tax crimes, we're behind that. And the cases, they're very necessary because tax evasion or failing to file a tax return is the one crime that everyone has the potential to commit. And every year you have to make that decision whether you're going to commit that crime. I mean, how many people even think about committing murder on a serious basis?
Hopefully not that many.
Not that many. Or people dealing drugs or people committing armed robbery. It's very rare. But we need to deter people. We're in the deterrence business because the way our tax system works is if everyone cooperates and everyone pays in their fair share. It's our bread and butter.
Well, how do you go about trying to deter people from cheating out their taxes? How do you try to convince them just to play it straight?
Look, over the years, if you ask any audience, it doesn't matter the age or the size of the audience, if they know what Al Capone went to jail for, they all will respond, tax evasion. And I've even seen this from teenagers. So one of our primary methods is to do outreach, to communicate to the public anytime that an individual is sentenced for tax evasion. We want to do a press release and notify the community that an individual was accused of tax evasion or was convicted of tax evasion by a jury or was sentenced to jail for tax evasion. And our goal is that when people watch or hear, you know, that somebody in their community went to jail for tax evasion, that will deter them.
Let me ask you about staffing levels at the IRS, because it seems as though they are down now from where they have been in years past. How does that affect your ability to get to everything that you need to get to?
You know, on a yearly basis, we set a strategic plan or sometimes a two-year strategic plan, and we make those decisions, you know, from a headquarters level and from a field office level, what types of investigations we're going to focus on. You know, every government agency, just like private entities and the public sector, has limited resources. So we make strategic decisions on what types of investigations are going to be a priority for our agency. But we're always keep ourselves with the ability to promptly respond if a new threat arises. A number of years ago, identity theft was very rampant, so we applied a vast amount of resources to combat that issue. In this era, we talked a little bit about cybercrime, so we do commit a vast amount of resources. Now, here's some really good news. We have just received the necessary funding to hire brand new staff, investigative staff, and special agents. For the first time in over 10 years, we've actually posted an announcement where we are actively recruiting and hiring brand new special agents. So it's an exciting time for IRSCI, and we hope to be able to recover some of the losses we've had in manpower in recent years.
Is there a hope that maybe some of the folks who used to work at the agency but had to be let go for whatever reason can come back? And I ask because I would imagine it's kind of a steep learning curve if you've never done this work before to come in and like start doing it. I would imagine like there's not just a huge universe of people who have the exact skill set you're looking for out there.
No, you know what? We specifically recruit and hire individuals who have a business background, a business degree, an accounting degree, a finance degree, banking. So that they understand how to, you know, recognize a financial transaction, analyze a financial transaction. But once we bring you on board, we send you off to training. So you know, we teach you the skill sets that are required to be a financial investigator with IRSCI. We teach you how to be a money laundering expert.
Are there any trends that you guys are keeping your eyes on as we move into 2020, any new types of crimes or new types of investigations that are sort of on your radars that maybe haven't been quite as prevalent in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the areas of focus for our agency is individuals who are engaged in international tax evasion schemes and individuals who travel around the world promoting international tax evasion schemes. Our agency has partnered with our sister agencies around the world, specifically from the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, to combat this issue of international tax evasion. You know, the days of, you know, Switzerland being, you know, a tax haven and the Caribbean being a tax haven, you know, those issues have been addressed in recent years. So we know that these criminal enterprises, these groups that facilitate financial fraud schemes, and international tax evasion have moved elsewhere. They moved their operations to other countries. And, you know, we're working together with our partners around the world to identify these new countries of concern. So international tax evasion is a big area of emphasis for our agency in the near future, for I would say at least for the next 5 years.
All right. Ismael Bryan, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ismael Navarez is Special Agent in Charge for the IRS Criminal Investigation Division for Arizona. Brian Watson is a Special Agent and Public Information Officer for the Phoenix Field Office.